Here, the old gods are dead.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, this is a Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Rebecca with Liam. Say hi. Hi.
I couldn't think of like a special way to say hi today, so I thought I'll observe a 10-second silence for whatever reason.
Watch me cut the silence down. Me and Liam's life updates. We've seen each other last week. Was it 2 weeks ago now?
It might have been directly after the last episode.
We went to see Haim in Glasgow. We watched Haim perform a live podcast.
It was something. Like, there's sometimes an artist will speak and you're like, oh my god, yes, like, so true. And then they just keep talking and you're like, yes, and it really resonates with you. This was not one of those times, but they did it anyway. That was
There was one point where you went away for a drink and came back and you were like, they're still talking. I blacked it. I can't remember much. There was a picture of me on the Creepy Wee Podcast Instagram looking busted as fuck. Like, remember that time RuPaul was busted as fuck? That was me. I looked honking. And in the morning, I seen it and I was like, I'm actually too hungover to even give a fucking delete that.
Hundreds of people have seen it now. It's too late.
I know.
Yeah, they talked a lot. I also blacked out. Apparently there was confetti at the end. Do not remember that whatsoever. Like, literally did not know this happened until like 2 days ago when you were
You didn't ken you had blacked out until I went, oh, and the confetti that I didn't know about that my girlfriend had to tell me about, and you were like, there was confetti, and I was like, I think you blacked out too. Like, we were being really annoying. Like, maybe it was for the best.
Yeah. If anyone's like, those group of girls and that gay boy were being annoying at home, that was us. That was us. If you were near the back, I'm so sorry. Actually, no, I had fun.
Mind, like, a guy, like, turned around to Alex and went, can you shut up? And I was like, and it was during like one of Haim's soliloquies. So like,
yeah, and it's like,
you've got to make your own entertainment when the artist is like just rambling. Like,
it wouldn't be so bad, but it was like so corny. Like,
I know, they're very millennial American, eh?
Yeah, but like,
London got Taylor Swift, and we got that.
Yeah, it's like sometimes I just want people to have a little bit of like, I don't know, familial trauma. Like, you know that picture and it's like, break the cycle. And then the gay person says, it's not giving. That.
Well, it was still fun. It was really fun.
Oh yeah, the encore was really good. And also I liked how my song 5 sounded different.
Yeah. Like,
the wee mix-up they did with that. That was cute.
I can't remember. Me saying yes, like, I can recall anything apart from us leaving.
You going, yes, I still have it. Yeah, do you remember me from Monaco? I can go on like this.
What else update? Oh, we're releasing merch hopefully by the end of the week. If you didn't follow us on Instagram, mayhaps you should do that, because the t-shirts and that are up there. There's going to be a t-shirt, a tote bag, a different kind of t-shirt, and a mug up on the store that I have slaved her by hand. I'm joking, it was actually quite easy because I did that for my job, but
I just spilled on mine today.
Yeah, I got mustard on my t-shirt.
I was eating a plum before I came on this call, and now there's like a big red squirt stain on it. So.
If anybody wants to turn theirs into like a vest or like a tank or a crop top, we would love to see it.
Yeah.
So when they go on sale, like, tag us, because we want to see how sexy you all look. Although you'll know, like, as sexy as Liam.
That's true.
In his.
I ate. I'm so sorry, but I ate.
I do have a picture in mine.
She's eating, Your Honor.
No crumbs. What else? Oh, well, it's a Lewis Chessman design that's on the t-shirt. And I went to the National Museum 2 Sundays ago.
It was bad.
It was bad. Like, me and my pal Caitlin went, and we were like walking around. I was enjoying myself. The National Museum in Edinburgh is just full of coins. That's like the history that it contains. Like, of it, there's like a science part and there's stuff about nature, but like in the new bit of the building, it's all like actual history of Scotland, and it's just all coins and monarchy. And then there, for the amount that like Edinburgh museums pump up the fact that they've got Lewis Chessman, they're on the worst display ever. Like, the display in London is shit, but it's arguably better than the one that's in Edinburgh. I was so underwhelmed. I was raging, actually. I was like, I'm gonna write a letter. I'm gonna start a petition. Just give them back to Lewis. If you're going to do something that underwhelming, you might as well just send them back to where they came from.
It's just the fact that they literally designed themselves, if you know what I mean. Like it's not hard to make them look good. Like, they come
for
with,
example,
like,
our t-shirts.
Yeah, they come with the vision attached. Like,
I know. But they didn't even put them on like a chessboard. They didn't even do anything that creative. It's like a piece of wood or tile that's been like, there's like squares etched into it, but not, they're no different shades. It's just one block cream colored slab that they're sitting on, and none of them are raised, they're all just in a wee row. I'm like, at least make them play a game.
Like, it's literally like they said, I'm going to be so
oh, I'm bleeping that. No, me building a Catan board and it looking better than the
your Catan
Lewis
board is better than the display.
For context, the business that I work in has a laser engraver that engraves wood. So I've just been building myself a Catan board that I'm painting and stuff, and it arguably looks better than the display. Actually, Edinburgh Museum, get in contact if you want me to laser cut you a better design for the Lewis Chessman display. They could have put like waves or something on it, like something cool, like kind of like Celtic-y, kind of swirly designs, but not.
Literally anything. They could have designed anything.
They could have put party hats on the Lewis Chessman. Should I get into a spooky hole? This one's quite long.
Okay, yeah, do it. Be free.
So this is for bestie Zoe. It's about her Uncle Alan. She starts, basically, my Uncle Alan is very sceptic and not very enthused by the paranormal. However, boy is he fucking haunted, clearly.
Oh, I love when a story starts like that.
I know, this is very well written.
He doesn't believe in it, however.
Let me tell you. So, he's had weirdly ghostly instances throughout his life, and there may be more, but he doesn't really feel the need to talk about them much. There's 3 occurrences that spring to mind. I'm just going to read one, and I'm going to do these. She's getting a wee zaga for this. Like, they're really good. I think she saved the best for last, but She says, a police granddad and a nurse gran with night shift hours meant my uncle and my dad needed looked after. They had an elderly neighbour. Unfortunately, his wife and son died a decade before, I believe, and he was nice enough to keep them entertained and took them on trips away to fish, etc. My dad was the older brother and had cool kid things to be doing, so Alan and Nick, the man, were closer, and they'd see each other occasionally well into Alan's young adult life. When he moved out of Drumchapel and into a flat with his misses, he remembered waking up in the middle of the night and seeing the neighbour at the end of the bed, just lightly tapping on his feet to wake him up and saying, right, Alan, that's me away, son. I'll see you at some point, I'm sure. Love you. Alan, of course, is half asleep and wasn't alarmed by him being there, just thinking it was a dream and saying a half-hearted bye. When he woke up, the door was left ajar. He and his girlfriend hadn't gotten up in the middle of the night. However, skeptic person, he just deleted it from his brain and didn't think about it again. It wasn't until my gran phoned him a week later to catch up and was like, oh, I've completely forgot to tell you. Nick passed away last week. He passed away pretty quickly and quietly. I'm sure my gran used the phrase, that's him away, which was a bit jarring. But also, Scots slang is a wonderful thing, so it could just be that.
Who else is gagged?
I'm gagged. This email was really good. There's too many to go. So no, next episode we'll get like we'll get the sitting door and first part maybe in the next episode. But these got sent in like last month, and I was like, no, I'm keeping these for like a ooky spooky ghosty episode. So that's a good one, eh?
That is a good one. That's
love when folk tell me good ghost stories. Whenever I'm drunk, I'm like, so has anybody got any hauntings that they want to talk about? I get the ball rolling.
Notepad and pen. And you're like, okay, monetizing this.
Anyone got any content? My pal last night actually was sending me voice notes. She was in the pub asking folk for ghost stories and got like a really good one. And then, like, immediately sent it to me. I might play it. What was it she was saying? The person that she was talking to was on a tour in a castle with her husband. And it was, like, a really good, like, tour where this man was walking them through the castle and stuff like that. And then in the morning when they were gone away, they were like, oh, you'll hate to tell such and such that he gave a really good tour in that. And then the staff at the hotel were like, he's been dead for 5 years. Which is great marketing.
That wait, that is good marketing.
Like,
people should start doing that.
I was like, oh, that's so scary. And my pal was like, I'm pretty sure it was just like a marketing technique. And I was like, a fucking good one though.
Yeah. As speaking of tours, my old flatmate, she went on a tour of Edinburgh Dungeons.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like always been a little bit ooky spooky spiritually inclined. Like, she has like visions and shit. It's alarming. You bleep out her name. Yeah, she went on a tour of the Edinburgh Dungeons. Oh, relates to this episode. Good segue. She went on a tour of the Edinburgh Dungeons. And then they were in this, like, room, and the person was talking. And then she started having, like, this, like, coming to God moment. Like, flashes of seeing, like, the words boots and keys and, like, boots. Boot the house down. Well, not boot the house down, but, like, you know, like, stuff like that. She tells the story better, but I'm just... and then they were like, oh, that's weird. And they took her to this other room, and she got to read this book, and it was, like, the foreman of that area was, like, his name was Boots. And, yeah, because he had big, like, boots that he walked around in. Also, love, are you ready, Boots? And then, because she heard, like, keys, like, clinking, and apparently, like, one of the passages in the about him, like you could hear him before you saw him because he had all the keys for like the area.
She's proper psychic.
Yeah, that was weird.
That's how my Nana gets visions, and she's like proper psychic.
And she's like, oh yeah, put money on red.
What was it? When my Nana, so my Nana has like visions like that, like during the day, but at night, like a lot of like dead relatives and like her husband and stuff will come to see her in her dreams. And every time she meets up with them, she's in a cafe. And because she was always telling me and my sister about it. Like, because every time I see her, I'm like, oh, has anything spooky happened to you? And she's like, ooh, let me tell you. So I was in a cafe, and your pop walked in, or my dad walked in, and I'm like, and it was Ali that clicked, was like, Nana, like, why are you always in cafes when you meet, like, your dead relatives? And she was like, oh, it must just be because I'm comfortable. I love a cafe. So that was that. That's how my Nana's psychic.
Not her making ghosts meet her at Starbucks for her iced coffee.
Love. Anyway, speaking of Edinburgh Dungeons, this episode's going to kind of be, well, it's very much a continuation of the Stirling Castle's Ghosts episode, but this time we're doing Edinburgh Castle.
Castle Ghost Saga. Castle we're Ghost like the Marvel Cinematic Universe for Scottish ghosts. And they're all Mary Queen of Scots.
And they're all Mary Queen of Scots. I can't wait to do an episode where it's just the haunts of Mary Queen of Scots, because I want to do like a two-part episode of Mary Queen of Scots and then follow it up with like Sandmere Lighthearted about where she like haunts, because they're every castle in Scotland. I remember reading an article that was like every castle in Scotland has a Mary Queen of Scots like story attached to it. Like, it's very rare for a castle in Scotland to not say it's haunted by Mary Queen of Scots.
Yeah,
I would like to get into that. This is a castle that's not haunted by Mary Queen of Scots, so we'll take a wee break and then we'll come back and we'll talk about Edinburgh Castle ghosties.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So Edinburgh Castle is a stronghold that's built into a craggy and extinct volcano known as Castle Rock. The castle towers above the city at 443 feet above sea level. Castle Rock has been the site of human activity for at least 3,000 years, and by 600 CE, a Celtic tribe called the Votadini, or the Gododdin, had built...
Yeah. I'm still certain that's how it's said.
I definitely got Votadini right. Anyway, podcasting's just about mispronouncing stuff. So this Celtic tribe had built a hill fort called Aidan's Hill Fort on the rock. But the first king of Scotland who was known to have residence on Castle Rock was Malcolm Canmore, who reigned from 1058 to 1093. Malcolm's wife, Queen Margaret, later canonised as Saint Margaret, died in the castle in 1093, and she was commemorated with a chapel being built inside the castle walls. This still stands, and it's the oldest surviving structure on the castle grounds. So the rest of the fortress round about it was just kind of like torn down, built back up, and eventually to what it is today. Episode definitely coming on Queen Margaret, because I personally am so obsessed with her. Even though it's no scary at all, I can do what I want.
Yeah, but she's like cunty, so that's kind of like a subgenre of this podcast.
She was literally so pious. They were like, you can be a saint. No miracles, just piety. So Edinburgh Castle has been the scene for many famous sieges, wars, and murders. See episode 8, Scotland's Game of Thrones. So it's no mystery as to why Edinburgh Castle is said to be the most haunted place in Scotland, although I very much beg to differ.
Yeah.
But in Creepy Wee Podcast fashion, I'll start us off by speaking about a ghosty lady. The great lady.
We're going to have to pull Progressive Pride flag by the end of this podcast. Like, it's so, so
good. Just different coloured ghosts. And they're all different shades of Mary Queen of Scots. So apparitions of the Grey Lady have been reported around the castle by tourists and staff, and she's thought to be the ghosty Janet Douglas, Lady of Glamis.
Period.
Nobody can see you.
I know.
Me.
But like, I'm so excited by that. I could only do like hand gestures. I'm doing a hand jive right now for everyone else.
So the way that we get so excited about ghosts, oh my god. This story is kind of based on James V, so Mary Queen of Scots' dad, James VI's grandfather, having a beef with the Douglas family. The Douglas family were very much hated by James, and for good reason. Janet's brother, Archibald Douglas, 6th Earl Angus, was the king's stepfather, and Angus had imprisoned James when he was wee, and James's hatred for Angus kind of extended to his family, which included Janet. James had broken free for the Douglas family in December 1528, and he summoned Janet to Edinburgh Castle for a trial of treason. She was accused, like among others, of bringing supporters of the Earl Angus to Edinburgh in June of that year, and she was eventually made exempt for legal proceedings and was free until about 9 years later. I would just like to note that her brothers were exiled in England during these trials, but she kind of got away with it. It was something to do with like the fact that she was on like a religious pilgrimage or something that kind of like, what is that called? Like when you're not allowed to arrest somebody.
Immunity.
Yeah. That's the one. So on July 17th, 1537, Janet was convicted of planning to poison the king and communicating with her brothers who were exiled in England. James accused Janet of using witchcraft against him. Although it was clear that the accusations were false, she was imprisoned with her husband, who escaped but was later killed, and they were both held in the dungeon of Edinburgh Castle. So it was easy for James to imprison Janet, but actually convicting her was much more difficult. Convicting people for witchcraft doesn't actually seem that difficult, but the source seems to say that it was difficult for James to. Maybe it was because Janet was highborn that it might have been more difficult. Yeah,
she was a lady, so it's a lady. Different.
Yes. So to gain evidence, James had Janet's family members and her servants subjected to torture to get false confessions. So that would be like typical Scottish torture method. So it would be thumbscrews and then the boot. What episode did we do that in?
What? Didn't
that was a lot of callbacks.
Tollbooth?
The Tollbooth. It was a Tollbooth episode. So Janet is convicted and she's burnt at the stake in July 1537 at Edinburgh Castle. Her young son is forced to watch as she burns. And this happens in the like Edinburgh Castle courtyard, I believe. It's thought that this gruesome death has led her spirit to become attached to the area where she died, although she more popularly haunts her home at Glamis Castle, which I think might be the most haunted place in Scotland.
Yeah, name like a single like Lady Glamis that wasn't like executed and haunt somewhere, like, you know,
the Queen Mother. No, we'll take Glamis Castle because there's many a haunt there. No, just vampires, like we mentioned in episode 2.
Actually, I have something to say on that one. I read something about the Grey Lady, and some people think it's Marie de Guise or de Guise, Mary Queen Scots' mum.
Yeah.
Some people think it's her. I've read.
Yeah, I did read that as well.
But I think that your theory is better.
When you read articles about the places that Mary Queen of Scots haunts, they're like, actually, she doesn't haunt Edinburgh Castle. That's because her mum does. Like, they've got some like territorial thing going on. Like, Mary Queen of Scots couldn't possibly haunt here because her mum does. And it's like, well, Mary Queen of Scots is also haunting like 30 other castles. So what is it?
Yeah. Why not there? I guess, was she there a lot?
Edinburgh Castle?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually. Huh. She spent most of her time in Holyrood Palace, and that's only down the road.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of.
Speaking of, good segue.
Basically, due to the turbulent war-torn times in which Edinburgh Castle was built, it's like logical to assume that there's like contingency plans in place, shall we say, for like getting like the highborns and the clergymen, like out, like the people who are most likely to face persecution if the castle was stormed. So there's exit plans everywhere. And in fact, it has long been rumoured that Edinburgh Castle does have a lot of secret escape tunnels that go under the castle, allegedly, for these important figures to escape from. The most famous of these rumours is that Edinburgh Castle is like linked to Holyrood Palace by like a tunnel that goes down underneath and along the Royal Mile. You're not going to believe this. There's actually rumours that Mary, Queen of Scots, used such tunnels for like her like late night smooches and such. Like,
with
many alleged suitors. One particular story suggests that an entrance to one of these tunnels became like discovered, and a lot of curiosity surrounding the tunnel led to people obviously wanting to know, like, oh, where the fuck does this go? Conveniently, the tunnel was very small, so no man could fit in it.
So okay, they thought, Mary Queen of Scots and her lovers can.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, how could this? The math isn't mathing around this one. But anyway, allegedly, a boy and his bagpipes can fit in a tunnel that a man can't fit in.
A boy and his bagpipes.
A boy and his bagpipes, which are probably the height of a man when you put those two things together. Anyway, so the people wanted to know where it went, and they said, okay, you, wee guy, go in the tunnel, and then you play your bagpipes as light as you can, and we'll go above ground and then follow you along the tunnel. So, like, they were walking down the Royal Mile with this boy, like, playing his bagpipes as loud as possible, listening to it, like, sort of, like, hum through the ground. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, static. This boy did his best Amy Doone era. Like, he just gong-girled himself. No, no. Gone. And they were like, oh, that's not good. They waited a minute. They were like, oh, no noise. So there were a few sort of like excavation teams, I guess you could say, like rescue.
Oh, really?
Rescue.
Did they actually try to get them?
Allegedly.
In Edinburgh history, I would assume that they would have just been like, oh, well, that was a good afternoon, wasn't it?
We'll try with another boy later on. Yeah, so they got like, they got to the Tronkirk, and then that's where everything sort of stopped, which is like no longer a church, but it's like a very nice building, and it's in the Royal Mile, very iconic. I'd suggest you go look at it. It's across from a Starbucks, so you might see Becca's granny talking to her dead relatives or whatever. But yeah, you can go get your iced latte, see a ghost. Anyway, they went back and they tried to rescue him, but no one found him. They could not find him. Obviously, it was suspected that he died. And since then, many people have said that they've been able to hear faint, muffled bagpipe noises underfoot in the Royal Mile from time to time.
Maybe it's just the fact that there's like 20 guys playing bagpipes at a time on the Royal Mile. <Surely. laughs> Like, you're just hearing the faint bagpipes in the distance.
Might be that, or maybe there's a ghost underneath you, who knows. For many years, there wasn't a lot of solid evidence for these tunnels, but it is actually now known. And I think since like the 1980s, it's been pretty well documented that Edinburgh has like whole cities underneath it, basically. Extensive tunnels and vaults and such. And there are, like all castles, there's like tunnels underneath Edinburgh Castle. It's no exception.
Yeah, but they didn't run through the castle to them.
Yeah,
how to Holyrood Palace.
Yeah, what kind of mole man behavior would have needed to occur for them to do that?
I mean, like, it kind of does, like, so spoilers for any Mary Queen of Scots history out there, but when Mary Queen of Scots's husband Lord Darnley was killed, Mary Queen of Scots had just visited Holyrood Palace, and that's where he had been killed. He was killed in an explosion in Holyrood Palace, but Mary Queen of Scots managed to miss it and very quickly returned to a party that was happening elsewhere. So, like, mayhaps she used the tunnels. Maybe club. She was another club. I can't wait to reuse that joke when we do a Mary Queen of Scots episode, but there you go, some food for thought. Maybe that's how Mary Queen of Scots got away with murder. Which she almost did. She almost did. No, she didn't. She was literally beheaded for that.
I mean, I don't personally really believe that happened because, like you say, in like olden times in Edinburgh, would you? But it's a nice story. It's a nice story. Although one time when I was like going through the Royal Mile, it must have been like 5 or 6 a.m. I was running through the train. You know how you can go down those steps? Those like nice steps. Anyway, I was like running and I like thought I heard my phone, but my phone was dead because I'd been out all night. Club, no sleep, another club. And I was like, what the fuck was that? And it was like a moaning noise. So I could believe it was true, but also I was very hungover, so it could just have been the sound of my own brain, like, vibrating.
You were just hallucinating, running for the train. Well, speaking of ghost musicians, Edinburgh Castle actually has a ghost drummer boy. Maybe
Guitar Hero.
He and the bagpiper could like start their own band.
There's also an Edinburgh Castle saxophone player. And they were all part of a blues band together.
So this ghost drummer boy was seen for the first time in 1650 by castle staff. He was circling the courtyard. Again, the courtyard must be absolutely piled with ghosts at this point if Janet is also walking around there and this drummer boy. But apparently they heard like the like kind of drums and they like look into the courtyard and there's a wee boy walking around just in circles rapping on his drum. Upon closer inspection, frightened castle servants saw that the young boy was headless. I'm not being funny.
If I've seen
somebody walking without a head, that would be the first thing I notice. That might surpass the drum. So, too afraid to approach, they left him in the courtyard to continue his playing, and he drummed his steady march straight through the night and vanished by morning. What castle staff had not realised at the time was that his ghostly appearance was a warning. For the same year, Oliver Cromwell invaded Scotland and captured Edinburgh Castle after the Lang Siege.
Bastard.
I'm not being funny, but like, how is that a warning? Like, multiple sources are like, this was a warning.
Well, I've read about the drummer because I thought it was funny. Like, I think it's funny how fixated they are on music, and I'm like, maybe they should all like try and get a gig at the Fringe together or something. Anyway, what I read about the drummer was that he like always appeared before like times of war, and obviously because there's not been a lot of war recently in Edinburgh, no one has seen him a lot.
Yeah,
but like,
apparently maybe they do say like if the drummer's seen again, because I think he was seen. They do. Some sources say the last time he was seen was before Oliver Cromwell invaded Scotland, and then others say that he was seen like before Culloden. He might have been seen, but that has nothing to do with. And also, like, what came first, Oliver Cromwell or Culloden? That feels like something I should ken. I think Culloden was later than 1650. Yeah, it was, because it was in like 1700. Yeah. So apparently, if the drummer boy is seen again, ill luck is to befall the castle and we'll be under war again, but I feel like that's highly unlikely.
Yeah, like, who's gonna have war from a castle, you know?
Yeah.
Who does that? That's so, like, 1600s.
You have a fun one, though. You have one that's more fun than the drummer boy. Although I do think the drummer boy is so stupid. Like,
so the
like,
boy,
oh my god,
paper.
He has no head.
Oh, I just noticed that myself, actually.
Right, tell me about your one.
So, basically, there is lore suggesting that a prisoner wanted to escape Edinburgh Castle so bad that he tried to do it in a dung cart, which obviously, like, was rolling poop around, you know? And I was thinking, like, would you be that desperate? But, like, Edinburgh Castle was, like, notorious for, like, having brutal dungeons and torture and, like, a party. It was, like, I don't know, going to polo or something. But allegedly he went in the dung cart expecting to be, like, okay, I'll be, like, dumped off, like, into, like, a soft pile of poo and run away. And I'm, like, first of all, if you were being tortured at Edinburgh Dungeon, like, I get that, like, modern medicine not so such a thing in these times and like torture times, but like, you would have died of sepsis anyway.
I know. Also, like, if you thought you were going to get tips out of dung cart onto like another pile of shit and that you could just run away, I'm sure, like, because you would have to run out the castle gate and all the way down the Royal Mile, because there's no other way out of Edinburgh Castle. You would be covered in shit, stinking of shit. You would just be rearrested.
Yeah.
Because they would be like, this is clearly a madman. We'll have to incarcerate him.
They would probably leave you like that as well. So you would just,
I know. You're not going to get sprayed off with a hose.
But also, it's like, would you not just sink into the pile? Like, then you just drown in shit. Anyway, that's nastiness.
What happened to him?
Well, he wasn't put into a nice soft pile. The cart was actually just like tipped off of the rock. So he was just like thrown to his death. Which I guess, like, that's faster than being tortured or drowning in shit. So I guess he actually did get a more merciful ending when you think about it. But it is thought that now, it's like noted that sometimes people get a waft of dung in the air, like near the castle walls.
Oh yes, that's definitely shite. If anybody wants to know what reference that is, please look up. Smells like shite, chewing the fat. And we'll post the clip on Instagram, but it's the funniest clip, featuring the fat. It's just this woman go, yes, that's definitely shite. I smell shite.
It's said, though, that you only smell this ghost when hearts are playing for some reason. Don't know why. No, but if you ever get the whiff of dung in the air, you'll get the sense that this man is about to try and push you over the wall, apparently. I know, right?
Wow. Wow. That's a good one. I like that one.
Yeah.
More believable.
Very calm.
It's actually Mary Queen of Scots. No, I have one that's my last one. So, and this feels like it's a bit like, it's like a tourist kind of people pleaser-y one.
Yeah.
But have you ever been to Edinburgh Castle?
Yeah.
Like actually in Edinburgh Castle?
Yeah.
Yeah, so at the top of Edinburgh Castle, there's a wee garden space, like, next to the 1 o'clock gun that's a dog graveyard, like a pet cemetery. Mm-hmm. This is a soldier's dog cemetery that dates back to 1837, and dogs that were regimental mascots or belonged to distinguished soldiers are buried there. And you can see their names, like, if you look down, like, for the castle was into the wee pet cemetery, and it's... I can't remember any of the names off the top of my head, but, like, it's all, like, Fido and stuff like that. Like, they're cute. Rex. Rex. Piggy. Peggy's my dog. But according to some visitors, there's a ghost of a scruffy black dog that has been seen wandering around the wee pet cemetery. Can you take any guess as to what they're trying to say this dog is?
No, not Grey Fries, Bobby.
Yep. Really fucking annoying, isn't it? Like, I'm not being funny, but like, Grey Fries Bobby was like a tiny wee scruffy black dog. What is he like? He's some kind of terrier.
Yeah.
But like, imagine that, like, Greyfriars Bobby finishing his shift crying at his master's grave in Greyfriars Kirk, which is like a fair's walk for a dog to get up the mile to Edinburgh Castle and then just hang about somewhere. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, there's no way for Greyfriars Bobby to ever have visited Edinburgh Castle. I find this very cheap. Like, if I was going to make up a story, which this is clearly is made up, about a dog haunt in Edinburgh Castle, like, surely you would make up something like it was like a hellhound or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Be more creative, I beg.
Yeah, dog out of hell, hellhound. Like, just more whimsy, more whimsy, more logic.
I've seen that and I was like, gosh.
One of the tunnels from, wait, I'll make one up right now. One of the tunnels from Edinburgh Castle that goes underneath through the old town that's underneath the city leads straight to hell. And it said that a hellhound haunts Edinburgh Castle because it came
and
up.
And you can hear faint barking when you're an Excel bagpipe player on the Royal Mail.
From three heads.
It's Cerberus, actually. It's not that hard. Like, it's genuinely not that hard to make up a good story about, like, a haunted dog. But no. That's all we've got. Like, if you do watch, like, ghost hunting shows and, like, look up, like, the most haunted places in Europe, like, Game Edinburgh Battle, Castle.
Ghost Hunter, Alien Hunter TV show. I need to watch that.
That's this show. But, like, every time they're like, Edinburgh Castle is one of the most haunted places on Earth. And I was like, Edinburgh, yes. I can get done with that because Edinburgh is creepy. But Edinburgh Castle, I'm going to need them to let me in. It smells like shite. I'm going to need them to let me in so I can hunt ghosts. We should have went. We should have did what we did for the Stirling Castle ghosts.
Let's do it anyway.
But I don't know. We'll do Glamis Castle next in our wee ghosty castle series because Glamis Castle's genuinely frightening. It has a really scary story attached to it, which I would be quite excited to do.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been our little quick girly episode about the ghosts of Edinburgh Castle. If you want notifications about our merch coming out, I would suggest either turning notifications on Twitter or Instagram. You can follow us on Instagram at the Creepy Wee Podcast, Twitter at the Creepy Wee Pod, and then the merch store will be live hopefully by the end of the week at the creepyweepodcast.co.uk. There's a full merch store. But it would be nice if you can tag us in any pictures she's taken, your t-shirts and stuff. I'll maybe post one of me in it. So I can get some attention. So I can make up for that busted picture that got put up. So I can get I can redeem myself for the horrible picture that got put up of me at the Heim concert. Everybody thought that I was Christy. They were surely the other person that hosts this podcast has to be as hot as Liam is.
That picture too, it's fine. Chrissy was the only presentable person.
No. That's us. We'll be back in 2 weeks for another episode. Thanks. Bye.
What you waiting for?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.